Good evening, everyone. If you have a Bible, you could turn it open to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. If you didn't bring one with you, we're going to have the verses on our screen up here to my right. For your convenience, you can follow along in that way. Or you can use your phone, you can use our CC Westside app and pull up our Bible translation there so that you can follow along. I so often say it's so important whenever you're sitting under the teaching of God's Word that you're reading it for yourself and never just listening to what a man says. I'm just a man. I'm just giving you God's word as best as I can. But it's important for you to see it. And it has a powerful effect when you can see it and you can read it and then also hear it at the same time. So I encourage you to follow along. Wednesday evenings are our journey through the Bible from front to back of God's word. We hopped over to Mark's gospel in the middle of the pandemic there, leaving where would have been 2 Chronicles, but we'll go back there after we finish this. I know you're eager to get back to the Old Testament, I'm sure. But for tonight, we are in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and we'll handle verse 45, God willing, to the end of the chapter. So again, if you have a Bible, turn it open to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning our reading in verse 45. Much like a Sunday morning tonight, because it's a short chunk of scriptures, I want to read them in their entirety. I want to allow God's word just to wash over all of you. Does that sound good? Let it wash over you just without any interruption here, and then we'll pray and we'll get right into it. How are the lights under the tent? Does it help you see better? Praise the Lord. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning here in verse 45. Please follow with your eyes as I read out loud. Mark says, "And straightway he, Jesus, constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side." Notice what it says here, "before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people." The structure in the language there is, as he's seeking to get rid of the people, to disperse the crowd, at the same time, he's also with force, gently of course, but with force, telling his guys, get on the ship, there's somewhere you got to go, I'll meet you there. And it says in verse 46, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." How's that for God connecting his word for us from Sunday's sermon? It's on praying. If the Son of God prayed, how much more we all need to pray? Amen? In case you were thinking, why do I have to pray? Well, if Jesus prayed, we should probably pray too. It says, "And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he, Jesus alone, was on the land." And it says, "He saw them." That's a detail we only get from Mark's gospel. We have this account recorded in Matthew and in Luke. I'm sorry, and in John, but neither tell us that he saw them. I'm thankful for verse 48. "Jesus saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came unto them, walking upon the sea, and he would have passed by them." Some people say, do you think Jesus had a sense of humor? You tell me. Here's his guys in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a sea, and the Lord, as it were, would have walked right past them. "And when they saw him, they were troubled," it said. As he's walking upon the waves, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. For they saw him, and they were overwhelmed. And in verse 50, it says, "Immediately Jesus talked with them. And he said unto them," and maybe it's something he wants to say to you tonight. It's a very clear word that comes from heaven. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I think we could take this personally tonight. As students of God's word, as lovers of Jesus, listen in, please. It says this, better than it, he says this, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Yeah, you give him a round of applause if you like. You guys should be rowdy tonight. You should be excited about Jesus. Some of you are maybe in a storm tonight. The Lord designed that you're here, just like he designed this storm for the apostles some 2,000 years ago on this lake. Just as he designed that storm and he intentionally sent them into it, they didn't do anything wrong. This was something that he was wanting to work in their lives to teach them a lesson. And just like he designed this storm and he controls the waves and the wind of the Sea of Galilee, he directs our moves and he has you here tonight in his sovereignty to hear of his love, his thoughts towards you. It's amazing. Maybe it's the first time you're back at church and I don't know how long and God's going to speak to you. Watch how amazing he is. He's just going to take over. He's going to speak like he spoke over the waves. He's going to speak over the babes crying. There's nothing that can muzzle our God. It's insane. It's insane. So he went up unto them into the ship, and it says in verse 51, immediately the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed. And it says in themselves, they were amazed beyond measure, and they wondered. For, verse 52, that's a reason word, because they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Y'all remember the miracle of the loaves, don't you? Feeding the 5,000 men, not including the women and the children, with just a few loaves and a few sardines. The Lord just kept breaking and blessing the miracle of creation in his hands. The 12 kept coming and receiving from the bread of life himself. He kept breaking up that little boy's lunch that day. Here the kid thought he was set for the day at the picnic. And next thing you know, Philip's taking the food out of his hand. It's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Some of you brought snacks for your kids, and I imagine one of the elders ripping it out of their hand. And aisles of 12, they're going up and down the rows, feeding God's people with baskets. And the people ate till they were filled, it says. And the word filled in the Greek is one of my favorite words. It's glutted. They were glutted. You know what I'm talking about? Like after you eat a delicious meal from Chef's Catering, our favorite food truck that comes to our grounds. Avocado sliders, a plate of fries, whatever else you might have in your belly right now, right? You're glutted. You got to unbutton your pants and put your Bible over it or a pillow over it because you don't want anybody. You've glutted yourself. That's what happened in this miracle, the feeding of probably 15,000. Forget 5,000. And the guys came up with baskets, it says, at the end. They were also filled. They were filled, and the baskets were filled. There were leftovers, doggy bags for the 12. A forever reminder of God's ability to create and to do the miraculous. But guess what happened? They forgot. They forgot about it because of the hardness of their heart. Lord, help us from becoming so familiar with Jesus, we lose our awe of Jesus. It says that they did not consider the miracle in verse 52 because their hearts were hardened. And when they had passed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and they drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. And they ran through that whole region round about, and they began to carry about in beds those that were sick when they heard where he was. Have you got a picture this year? I mean, the Sea of Galilee. I'm going to handle these verses right now, and then I'm going to pray, and I'm going to go back to the storm, and I'm going to hang there for the night. So let me do something for you. Picture the Sea of Galilee. How many of you have been to Israel? Just a few of us. Come with us next March, and you'll be able to put these things. You'll have a picture with your Bible reading. It will blow you away. It will bring the Bible to life. It will be like a 3D picture every time you move through the Gospels. Portions of the Old Testament, too. But the Sea of Galilee is like a big harp. Some 13 to 50 miles long by, you know, approximately 7 miles wide or so. And so you picture this, they would be able to see when it's clear the landing of the ship of Jesus across the other side. As the ship is making its way and he's getting out of the boat with the 12, all of a sudden there's this crowd of people because they heard about him. They're like, we heard about you. Some of you are here tonight because you heard about our Jesus. You heard he does pretty amazing things. The outlook is super bleak, so you're going to try the uplook tonight. The world is getting pretty depressing. You're sick of the news, the local news, the nationwide news, the global news. Everything's pretty depressing. Even sports are depressing. There's fake people in the stands. It's ridiculous. So maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, man, I don't know where else to look. Things are just, it's getting more and more fearful out there. The anxiety is increasing. The uncertainty is abounding. All of these things. And so you heard about our Jesus. And you've gathered, just like this crowd then did. They heard about him. They knew about his reputation. And they started to carry in their beds those that were sick when they heard that he was there. And it says in verse 56, when he entered into the villages and the cities and the countries, they laid the sick in the streets. And they begged him. Look what it says in verse 56. Those of you who are with me in chapter 5, this might ring a bell. Look at this. That they might touch, if it were, the hem of his garment. Where do you think they got that from? Remember the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years? Spent all of her money, all of her resources trying to get healed. No man can help her. And then just one touch of the hem of the King of Kings garment, she was made whole. And the issue of blood instantaneously stopped. Word like that gets around, right? I mean, word like that gets around. This is the man who healed me, who did for me what no mortal man can do. And the crowd says, well, maybe if I can too, just grab a hold of the part of his robe that drags in the dirt of the streets. Just that. If I could just touch that, then I'll be healed too. And they were. One commentator said, so the doctors in that area had a holiday that day. Everybody is getting touched and getting healed. It says, as they're touching the border of the garment, they were made whole. 5,000 people are fed by one small lunch. Jesus is walking on the water. The sick are instantly healed. None of this is normal except for the power of God abounding. And it was and it is. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for this night. Open to us this portion now as we camp in the storm with your apostles. No doubt there are people here tonight, God, who are in a storm. Lord, the billows, the waves are crashing in, as it were, to their lives. They're overwhelmed, Lord. They're tired and they're wearied. Perhaps they're toiling tonight, like Peter and James and John and the others who are on that boat. God, I pray tonight for something to happen that is so much more supernatural than my voice. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be, and I already know that you are, so I'm praying in cooperation with what you're already doing. I pray that you would be ever present mightily on this premises right now, and that you would take your word, God, and penetrate it to the depths of the here. God, we need words of comfort. We need words of wisdom. We need words of direction. Lord, we need words of reassurance. We need to be told the very command that you told these men here, be not afraid. It is I, ego eimi, the great I am. Make yourself known in this place, God. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you draw all men to Jesus. And it's in his name and only his name that all God's people said, amen. I want to rewind with you to the storm. I want to hang with you in the storm tonight. The Holy Spirit spoke clearly to me that this is the portion that we needed corporately tonight. Again, even if you're not in a personal storm, we are certainly in a global storm. We are certainly in a storm nationally right now. I mean, as a nation, we are in a storm. Things don't seem to be settling. Things don't seem to be getting brighter, if you would. It just seems like the chaos increases. It just seems like the noises, it's almost like they're rising from hell. I don't know how you feel, but I mean, it's very wearisome to watch and to listen to. Lawlessness abounds, good being called evil, evil being called good. Things are very backwards and twisted upside. I don't know if you're paying attention. I mean, in California, what they're legalizing with adults going with younger minors, as long as there's not more than a 10-year gap, this is allowed now in our nation. Just signs and posters being hung in kindergarten classrooms, promoting things that are completely unbiblical and ungodly in our kids' schools, churches abandoning the gospel. I mean, we are, Jesus said before he went to glory, he said to the church, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And it's as though the church has just sort of backed up from that and said, no, that's not what we want to be, because salt burns and light causes eyes to sort of, you know, blink and be uncomfortable. And we don't want to be that anymore. We want to sort of blend in with darkness, and we don't want to offend or step on toes. And so it's as though the church has just sort of backed off and said, no, thank you. Please don't pass that mantle to us. But there's a remnant. There's always a remnant. There's always the master's minority. There's always the faithful, the children of God. You are them tonight. You're here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. You've put yourself in the hearing of God's word. You might not catch every point that I make. You might not follow the whole entire sermon. There's so many things that could distract you. I understand that. But God in his faithfulness is going to zap you. He's going to speak to you your portion tonight. He's going to, because he exalts his word above his name. And so if I have to scream because I lose my voice, I'll do that so his word goes forth tonight. Because he wants to speak to his bride and encourage her in her pursuit, in your pursuit, in my pursuit, and our pursuit to be light bearers, to be what he has commissioned us to be, and what I believe to be the last days. We're in this storm. We're in this time period of human history of the spirit of Antichrist being heavily against us. And as we're in the middle of this storm, we need to take note tonight of what's before us in Scripture. Remember, just a few months ago, we handled Storm 101 with the apostles. This is Storm 102. What is the major difference? The major difference is in Storm 101 that we've already studied, Jesus was in the boat. This time, he's not with them in the boat. Hey, listen, as we make our journey to the other side, I'll be doing that tonight, just so you know. I'll be illustrating our journey as I move through this. It's not a perfect type, but there's enough here that I'm going to pull application. The Holy Spirit wants to encourage you. We're journeying through this world. This isn't our home. Those of you who are like, man, what's up with this? You know, this is not what I thought being a Christian would be. That's because this is not our home. Jesus didn't promise us a rose garden. Jesus didn't promise us this path of easiness. He said, in this world, there will be trouble. In this world, there will be problems. But listen, be of good cheer, because I have overcome this world, he said. And for the believer in Christ, for the believer in Jesus Christ, this is your hell. This is as bad as it will ever get, whatever happens in this life. It will only get more awesome in glory. So we need to hold on to those things and be encouraged so that we can stay the course, so that we can remain faithful to the captain of our salvation. Okay, we have to have perspective here. We have to understand we're journeying through this world. We're seeking to make it to the other side. And like these guys, the Lord is not physically with us, and it makes it difficult, doesn't it? You walk with him by faith, not by sight. You don't walk with him using your senses. Everything that you do tonight, besides this Bible study, is based on your senses, all the sensories of our bodies, right? You smell the food, it makes you want to eat, right? You see the lights, it entices you, it draws you, it grabs your attention, the fire, all these different things. Everything is what we can touch, what we can smell, what we can feel. But then the Lord says this to us, listen, now I'm asking you to walk by faith. And you're in the boat, and you're seeking to make your way to the other side. And listen, just like these guys, your life and your path has been designed by the Lord. Nothing has happened to you outside of his provision and allowance. And that could either comfort you or disturb you, depending on how you look at it. But it should comfort you in that his hand is upon you, and that he has you here even on a night like this so that he can encourage you and strengthen you to be what he's called you to be. It says here that he constrained them in verse 45. He sternly, that's the phrase here. He sternly grabbed these guys and he instructed them to get in the ship to go to the other side before him. There's two things in that verse we're to grab a hold of that the Lord does here. He says, number one, you're going to go to the other side. Number two, I'm going to meet you there. Look what it says. Go before me unto Bethsaida. That's somewhere that he's going to come to. He's going to be there with you eventually on the other side. There's going to be that reunion, okay? He says, this is where you're going, he says, and we will be together again. Listen, take both of those points and bring them home with you tonight. You have direction. You are not hopeless. You have a hope that's an anchor for your soul. So go ahead and watch the news. Go ahead and pay attention to what's going on, but don't despair and think, oh no, I feel like I'm purposeless. I feel like I'm meandering. No, you're not. Heaven is your home. You're heading there. That we have a city whose builder and maker is God. We have a king who is so superior to any party that represents a leader in the culture today, right? We have a kingdom that's coming. It's not just a prayer we pray. We have a kingdom that is coming. Jesus Christ is going to reign and he's going to rule. Don't get it twisted tonight, okay? You're not the world. And if you are the world visiting tonight, you too could have this hope. You have a future and a hope. You have an expected end. You don't have an unexpected end, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Be of good cheer, little flock. That's what the Lord would say to us tonight. Like, let me get your attention at this tent Bible study. Let me, as the generator shut down, the food truck is out of here. Listen in, God would say. You are going to go to the other side, and you too, bride of Christ, are going to go to the other side. This is your journey. You're passing through. You're a sojourner. You're a pilgrimer. You're moving through. And the better part of all of this is Jesus is going to be there with you. Okay, there's a reunion. Not just are you going to see him when you get to the other side, but he's actually going to usher you in. I mean, if he comes before you die, he's going to rapture us. That is the next event on God's timeline. The Holy Spirit wants me to encourage you in that tonight. You are the bride of Christ. You are not going to go through the tribulation. The tribulation is Jacob's trouble. It's to deal with Israel and any other Christ rejectors. That is after, very clearly taught in Daniel 9 and in the book of Revelation, that is after the rapture of the church. Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, is going to take his bride like any good bridegroom does. He's going to pick us up, just like we did, guys, with our girls when we brought them over the threshold, and he's going to carry us into glory, and he's going to say, look at the place that I have prepared for you. I've been waiting to show you. Come on. The rapture is next. And if you die before the rapture, I believe that the face of Jesus, not Peter, not an angel, but I believe that the one who paid the price for you to have a ticket into heaven is going to be the very first face that you see. And you're going to put a face with the most lovely name that you have ever heard the instant that you open your eyes on that other side of glory. So either way, he's coming to get you. Either way, he is going to be where you are. He promised us that. Do I gotta say it over you? Do you want me to say it over you? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, Jesus said, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you that. And I have gone to prepare a place for you. Let it wash over you. I have gone to prepare a place for you. And if I have gone to prepare a place for you, John 14, 1 through 3, if I've gone to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself. So that where I am, there it is, there you might be also. This is the word of the Lord. Let it wash. You're going to go to the other side, and I'm going to come to get you. So in the midst of things getting bad, you should not be saying, well, hang on a minute here. Why hasn't he come yet? No, he told you there's going to be birth pains. We're experiencing Braxton Hicks. Maybe it's turning into real, you know, labor. I don't know where exactly we are. But don't start getting fearful. You're going to the other side, and you're going to be with Jesus. This is way better than Fox News or CNN. Come on, this has got to be doing something, right? Aren't you sick of everything else that's going on? So he sent them away, and he departed into a mountain to pray. Y'all, that's what he's doing right now. Told you, that I had a word from, no allergies were keeping me back tonight. Just like the story, he sent them into a storm, and he goes and he prays. What's he doing right now? Is he just taunting us? Is he riding the whole cliche phrase of the absence of the heart makes the absence makes the heart grow fonder? Is that no? He's not. There's purposes and plans, and while he delays his coming because he desires that none would perish, he's praying for you. Can you even on this Wednesday evening, the first week of school for some, can you even on this September Wednesday evening, can you even begin to wrap your mind just a little bit around the fact that the Son of God is praying for you right now? In the middle of your journey of trying to make it to the other side, in the middle of your journey of trying not to get your heart all overwhelmed and troubled by the waves and the wind and the sea. Can you even begin to fathom the fact that Jesus ever liveth to at the right hand of Father God pray for you? Come on. That's what he's doing right now. He's praying for you. Father, keep them.
Father, encourage them. Father, I know that they love their children the way that I love them. And Father, I see them right now that they're overwhelmed. They're nervous to send them to the schools. But Father, they both, he and she, have to work. And so they have to go to the school. Father, keep them and keep theirs. May his favor be upon you. Right? I mean, that's a word from the Lord. That's Numbers chapter 6. That's a prayer. That's all that song is a prayer, and it's God's word for us to cling and to grab. Generations, you think you're concerned about generations. He's concerned about generations. He's making something godly out of your heritage. He's praying for you. Every hair in your head is numbered. He knows what you're fretting about. Listen, I don't tell my wife, she ain't here yet, so I could say this quick. If she is here, when she gets here, I would say it like this. I'm never afraid, but I'll tell y'all a secret real quick before she gets here. There are times where I get afraid. I don't tell her, though. I don't tell her or my kids when I'm afraid. But you know something? I can tell the Lord, Lord, I'm afraid. And then all of a sudden, I know I got this. He's praying for my fears that nobody else I've ever confessed them to. Every hair in your head is numbered. He's praying for you. He knows what you got going on in the middle of this journey to the other side. And he's for you. He's for you. He is for you. He is for you. Yeah, but Pastor, I sin like crazy. He is for you. He is for you. It seems like he's after me. No, he ain't after. He is for you. Seems like he's mad at me. No, he's not mad at you. He's mad about you. He's for 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 you. He formed you. He's for you. He formed you. He's for you. He knows that you're frail. He knows your tendencies. He knows your weaknesses. He knows that you're just dust. And listen to this. More than he's just for you, he pities you. And his compassion towards you fails not. His faithfulness, not yours, is great. And even when you're faithless, he's faithful. He's praying. Just like he was praying then, he's praying now. And it says that when evening was come, verse 47, the ship was in the midst of the sea. John tells us it was about 25 to 30 furlongs out. Y'all are like, what's a furlong? It's about 3.5 miles. They're smack dab, as it would seem, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee when the evening would come. And he alone is on the land. And it says in verse 48, he's watching them. Doesn't tell us that in the other gospels. I'm so thankful for Peter's influence, of course, by the Holy Spirit, but also from Peter upon Mark to pen these things for you and I to hold on to so when we're in our storms. Because the devil wants to tell us you're out of his care. Listen to what I'm saying to you. The devil wants to tell you in your journey to the other side you're out of his care. You've graduated from his care, or you've abused his care, and now you're out of his care. He's watching you as he's praying for you. You are never, ever outside of his care and love and devotion. You are the apple of his eye. You are the object of his affection and attention. Even when you sleep, he doesn't slumber. His eyes are upon you. He's watching you. He's praying for you. You in the back, he's watching you. He's praying for you. You on the left of me, he's watching you and he's praying for you. You guys on the right side, he's watching you and he's praying for you. Pastor Larry, he's watching you and he's praying for you. Us leaders need to hear it too. Max, he's watching you. He's praying for you. His eyes are on you. Nothing disturbs that. He's watching you. He's praying for you. He's watching you. He's praying for you. The devil wants to tell you. A minion that's assigned by the devil to you. He wants to tell you he's done with you. He don't care about you. Look at you. You're in the middle of this thing. The waves are crashing. The wind is whipping. The rain is pouring, man. Forget it. The storm of life. You're drowning. You might as well just give up. No, no, no. The Lord God Almighty whispers into your heart and says this to you. And this might be the only thing you came here for. I'm watching you. My eyes are upon you. I'm praying for you. I'm not rattled by this. Don't you have to be either. I'm watching you. I've got you. I'm watching you. I've got you. I needed that. Anybody else need that? I'm watching you. I see you. I'm watching you. I'm praying for you. I'm watching you. My eyes are on you. Faithful all the way through the journey. 70 years old, watching you. 80 years old, watching you. 90 years old, watching you. Doesn't expire. We don't graduate from not needing his care anymore. Well, I don't really need his care. Now we can pay attention to the newer Christians, the wild Christians, the Harley riding Christians. Let them watch them. No. We all need it. And we all know it deep down. And he says, I'm watching each of you. I love the Bible, man. I just love expository teaching of God's word. It's just so rich. No curriculum can do for us what the word of God does. Just the word of the Lord is so powerful. So powerful. So there, he's watching them. And look what it says in 48. They're toiling and rowing. You guys know what that means, right? They're toiling and they're rowing. Listen, that's poor translation. It literally means that they were being tortured in their desire to make their way to the other side. They're agonizing. They are scared to death. You ever been in a storm on a boat? You ever have water coming over the side into the boat? You ever have waves crashing into you? This region of Israel, it's like a funnel. It sits low, and there's mountain regions surrounding the whole thing. And when storms whip in like this, man, that sea that is so peaceful at times, the waves could be 7, 8, 9, 10 feet tall, whipping into the boat. They're agonizing. They're fearful. He sees all of this. He's watching all of this. The wind is contrary unto them, which means they're rowing. They don't have a sail. So they're probably going against the wind, rowing. It's contrary. It's whipping into them. They're trying to just stay afloat, trying to make their way to where the Lord instructed them to go. And now the Bible tells us this. It was the fourth watch. So y'all are like, well, how long did they have to do this for? Well, they went out, the language says, in between when the sun would go down in the evening. So like when you were getting to church. And the fourth watch is from 3 to 6 a.m., the darkest part of the night when the moon sets. That's when Jesus decides to come on the water. So, say it goes down around 6, 7 o'clock. He's coming at the fourth watch, 3, 4, 5 in the morning. That's 8, 9, maybe 10 hours of toiling. That's a long time, isn't it? Some of you are like, that's how this feels. This is a long time. Why is he delaying? Why isn't he coming? Why isn't he appearing? Because listen, he desires for more to get saved. That's the short answer. He wants to bring more people in. Some of you tonight, man, you've been in the world. He's been trying to get your attention. He has a little bit tonight. He's patient. He wants your heart to be committed to him so that when he comes, you're found ready. He wants to have you be found ready. How gracious is that? He's long said, and a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. For any haters tonight, a day with the Lord's like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. So it's only 2020. He's only been gone for a little over 2 days. And Peter said, heads up, because there's going to be the scorners who say, oh, they've been saying for generations he was going to come. They're escapists. Of course we are. I don't want to be here for the tribulation. All the wrath of God has been poured out upon Jesus, so I don't have to experience that. I fully embrace that theology, and it's consistent to Scripture. Listen, the Lord is faithful. Here they are, they're toiling. Here they are, they're laboring. Here they are, they're agonizing. And in the midst of all of this, and the fourth watch of the night, the darkest part of the night, it says that he came unto them walking upon the sea and would have passed by them. I wrestled with that verse. Holy Spirit ministered to me, Exodus 33. When the Lord took Moses at his request to see his glory, and he placed him in the cleft of the rock. And what did he do? He made his glory to pass by him so that he could catch the afterglow of his Redeemer. The Lord wasn't taunting them. The Lord wasn't going to just walk by their boat and as they're despairing. That is so cruel. The Lord was wanting them to catch a greater glimpse of who he was. Come on, I worked all day on that. That's all I'm going to get. Yeah, it's not impressive to you what the Lord wants to do in your life, not what I'm saying, but what the Lord wants to do in the middle of our journey to their side. Does the Lord not set up these scenarios for us where we can catch a glimpse of his glory? Just the hindsight, Lord, just the backside of your glory. Let your glory pass by. Moses would say, let your glory, that Shekinah, let it pass by. The Lord is passing by, but he fully intended, of course, to save them. Watch what happens here. As this is happening and he passes by them, when they saw him walking upon the sea, the waves are like a staircase to them. How crazy is that? He's the wave walker. He's the wave walker. As they see him walking upon the sea, they supposed it was a phantom, and they started screaming. They started shrieking. They were freaking out. That baby just illustrated for us. They were like, you know, what in the world is going? They were spooked. Their backs were against the wind, as it were. They're trying to row against it. As this is happening, there comes Jesus walking on the water. These are not everyday events, right? And here comes the Lord making his way toward them. And as they are seeing him make his way toward them, they're shrieking. And as they see him, verse 50 says, they were troubled. And immediately, I love this, he talked with them, which is crazy because that means his voice could be heard above the wind and the waves if we'll listen. Can you write that down? Take stuff home with you. I've been cooking all day in the kitchen. Take some stuff home. I don't want the leftovers. I want you to take them. Listen, all of us need different parts of this study are going to be for us. Some of you need this right now. It's life or death. They heard his voice above the howling wind and waves, above the billows. He's not just the bread king. He's the billow king. Listen, he's speaking above all of these things that are vying for their attention. His voice, remember what John the Revelator says in Revelation? His voice is like thunder. Man, when he, yes, it's still and it's small and it's sweet. But man, he knows when we need to hear him loud and clear. That's what tonight should be. I pray to God it is. I pray it's sheep feasting in green pastures. That's what this needs to be for so many of us to continue the journey. He wants to speak words to our hearts that are going to sustain us in the journey, that are louder than anything that's going on in Ogden, in the village of Spenceport, the city of Rochester, the state of New York, or our country itself. He needs you to hear his voice, but you need to hear his voice. This is what walking with Jesus is all about. It is not about you being able to take the text and now go explain it the way I just explained it to somebody else. That is not your job. It is about you receiving bread of life from the Lord God Almighty and being strengthened so you can go back to your workplace, back to your neighbor, back to your families, back to your communities, back to your neighbors and be infectious. You can't give somebody the measles unless you got the measles. And you need to be infected. You need to be bit by God's word. Your soul needs to be stirred. And that happens through him speaking to you. Not an entertainer being up here, tickling your ears, being funny, or moving your emotion and making you cry, or outstanding musicians. It happens from Jesus, our chief shepherd, stooping and speaking to your heart in a way that only he can. I hope that's why you're here, to hear his voice. He speaks to them and they can hear him. He speaks to them and they can hear him. And he says to them something that is so beautiful for you and I tonight. And this is our closing portion. Please do not lose this. Receive this. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I don't like it. I'm not happy with it. To say to somebody in the middle of a storm, be of good cheer, that to me is obnoxious. That to me is like, man, don't tell me how my hands are bleeding. Come on, what's toiling in a boat look like for 8-9 hours? Hands bleeding, blisters, calluses, sweat. My back is aching. I'm in pain. I'm delirious. It's the next day. For you to tell me, be of good cheer when this is my circumstances, That is so insensitive. And that's not actually what the Lord would have said when he spoke to them, when he said this word to them. Rather, it was this. Please listen to me. It was this. It's present tense, and it's be taking courage, or take courage. It is I. That's the source of your courage. But listen, it's ego eimi. That's the great I am. It's Jehovah. It's the great I am who revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. It's Jehovah wrapped in human flesh. That's how you take courage in the middle of a storm in your journey to the other side in the absence of the physical presence of Jesus Christ that you have. It is I, the great I am, with you. He says, it is I, the great I am. The one who walks on waves. Be not afraid. It's a present imperative. It's a command. It's this. You must stop being afraid. Take courage. Take courage. You must stop being afraid. Take courage. I am. You feeling it? I am. Now hang on a minute here. You can't tell me that when I'm going through this. And I can't tell you that when you're going through this. And many times a doctor, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a counselor, an elder, we can't tell other mortal men this and have it have the effect that it could have when Jesus speaks it. When Jesus speaks it to us, it is like medicine to our souls. It's therapeutic. It can instantly make us whole and settled. It tells me that he has the ability to command over my emotions and that there can be healing in this way at his word. Whatever we're going through, Jesus Christ can speak to our fears, to our phobias, to our struggles, whatever we're going through that makes our hands bleed, as it were, that makes our backs ache. If he speaks to you a word in that season, it's like medicine. Is there anybody that can testify of the Lord God Almighty? Just round of applause. Something, has he not done that in your life where he's just spoken something to you? Man, if you haven't experienced that yet, you're missing out. That's how you make it through the journey. He speaks. He speaks, and it's like medicine. We can't do it ourselves. We can't speak it to ourselves, but he can speak it to us. Take courage. You don't have to be afraid. Take courage. And it says that he went up, verse 51, unto them. And you know what happens? John tells us. When he got in the boat, they were immediately at their destination, another miracle. They went from being 3.5 miles in to the other side immediately. In other words, his presence was their destination. His presence was their destination. And they're to the other side. It tells us this here. And we get to the other side. The wind ceases. And they're amazed and they wondered. And we're told in Matthew that they declare for the first time in this context, you are the Son of God. The wind ceases. The storm stops. And it says that they were astonished because they did not consider what he had done with the loaves, because the hardness of their heart. It's crazy that we could take his miraculous involvement in our lives for granted. Just the day-to-day seeing us through storm, just the day-to-day pace of life, all of the faithfulness of God. We could just take it for granted, take it for granted, take it for granted. And then we find ourselves in these scenarios and we totally let go of all of the things that he had done in the past and we freak. Yet he shows up and he speaks to us. And he encourages us, and he gives us exactly what we need. And then he reminds us. And we kick ourselves thinking, how did we not know? How did we not remember? Yet there he is in the boat, encouraging us, not condemning us. His presence is destination. His presence is destination. His presence is healing. His presence is restoring. His presence, there he is in the boat. There they are to the other side. And everything that was around them before that was troubling them was done and over with. I want to leave you with that tonight. There's a day coming for the bride of Christ. There's a day coming. I've read the end of the book. There's a day coming for you and I. The only requirement is that we placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's a day coming where all of the wind of the world stops, where all of the seas of the world and all of the problems of the world and all of the warfare and all the attacks and all of the things that we battle through to keep trucking, there's a day coming where it will cease. There's a day coming where there'll be no more disease. I know you know this, but let it wash over you. There'll be no more disease. There'll be no more darkness. There will be no more sun setting because the sun will be gone because he makes light. He is the light. There'll be a day coming where there's no more closing the gate because there's no more violent people. There's no more angry people. There is no more wickedness. There's a day coming where Satan can't get at us. His minions can't get at us, that they'll be cast into the bottomless pit. There's a day coming for all of those who've put their hope in Jesus. We will not be ashamed. There's a day coming where we'll be before him with uninterrupted worship. There's a day coming where all wrongs will be made right. There's a day coming where he will reign and he will rule. There's a day coming where your kids can put their hand in the hole of a viper's nest, man, and not be bit, where the lion and the lamb will lay together. There's a day coming of these things. There's a day coming of these things, says the Lord. And all of this will cease and will be before him. And when we'll be before him, it's just going to be instant healing. There's going to be a tree that brings healing. There's going to be his presence that brings healing. There's going to be all of the saints of old that we are going to gather with. Imagine what the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be like. Imagine what it's going to be like when you behold his wounds. Almost 30 times in Revelation, Jesus has John call him the Lamb who was slain. It seems like that's his favorite title of himself. Write me as the Lamb who was slain. Write me as the Lamb who was slain. Write me as the Lamb who was slain, telling me that the only man-made thing in heaven is going to be the wounds that he received from the cross. What is it going to be like when we behold those wounds? You want to know what it's going to be like? None of us are going to be going like this. Man, you remember 2020? That was a tough year. Jeez, you remember we were trying to walk with Jesus, man, in the midst of that American anti-spirit of Christ that was going on and all the political divide and all of the social divide and racial divide. We call it that, but there's one race, the human race. You know what I'm talking about, though. There's all of this. You remember, man, that was tough. I wasn't sure if I should have lived it out and fought it out and had that dogged obedience, but I guess I'm glad I did. Now, look at that. There's going to just be jaws of the ground like, oh, my goodness. Worthy is the Lamb to receive all glory and honor and power and praise. Worthy, worthy, worthy. And we're going to just be before him in awe. In awe. We are not going to care about talking to Abraham. We are not going to care about talking to Joshua. We are not going to be sweating Elijah the prophet. We are not going to even be looking for Peter to hear about this story because Mark didn't tell us. Peter, why didn't Mark tell us about when you got out of the boat and tried to walk on the water? Was it that you were humble and you didn't want people to know that you actually walked on the water? Or was it because you were prideful and you didn't want to? When was it, Peter? We're not going to even care. We're going to be before him. And all of the wind is going to be ceased. This. Just this. Stillness. Our hearts are longing for stillness. Our hearts are longing for peace. Our hearts are longing for our homeland. Let that be the only unsettledness that you leave with tonight. You're homesick, that's all. But soon and very soon, we are going to be with the King. Amen. Would you guys come and lead us? Let's close the night singing to him. Let's sing to the Lord. Let's lift our voices. Don't leave during the closing song unless you absolutely have to. Let's sing to him. Let's exalt him. Let's give him the adoration and the glory that he's due of. It's so good for us to do this. Okay, don't just jet out. Let the Holy Spirit just settle what he just did with you. Let him settle. Let him finish what he started. Your kids aren't bothering anybody. We're good with it. They're going to be in heaven too. We got to get used to them. Let's sing to Jesus. Let's lift our voices. Last song. Let's sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Jesus, we thank you for this night. Thanks for this time where you've come to meet with us. You knew, Lord, that we needed this. Lord, and you have been faithful to show up again. Despite our sin, despite our shortcomings, despite, Lord, our impure motives even, God. You just show up, show up, show up. Because you are faithful and true. You are genuine and dependable. No journalist is, no media is, Lord, but you are. And your word is, God, and it's incredibly refreshing to us tonight. So as we sing this closing song to you, God, it's our little love give back just to say thank you. Please, Lord, receive it and let it bless you now, we ask. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, we all said, amen.